time for the Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, Pat is he's a murderer, as we've discovered today.
Derek, there's a lot of zombies with no heads now. I have killed a lot of zombies today.
Well, you've done the world a favor, Pat. Thanks for taking care of some of those zombies for us.
Hey.
At least he can do it, Pat.
When you need somebody to protect the world, this is the guy that you call. It's actually, Derek, I recommend that. That was way too much fun for 15 minutes. I could not believe that that was only 15 minutes, so I highly recommend it. How are you, sir? What's going on today?
Doing well. Day two of training camp in the books, and you know, yesterday was an exciting day. Anytime you see the NHLers back on the ice, it starts to feel like hockey season, and so we learned a lot yesterday. I wouldn't say we learned as much today because, as you guys have talked about all afternoon, it was pretty much status quo. But it's good to be back in the swing of things again.
Well, let's start here on the roundtable, gentlemen. And I know that what we see now, Blake Coleman, for instance, on a line with Elias Lindholm and Matthew Tkachuk, that may be how it starts the season. That may not be how it starts the season. But how do we expect Blake Coleman to fit on this team this year?
I think Blake Coleman is a player who can fit on any team at any time just because of his versatility, the fact that he can play left wing or right wing, and the fact that he can move up and down your lineup. And on a not-so-good Devils team, he was a top-six guy on a very, very, very good Lightning team, back-to-back Stanley Cup championships. He was a middle six guy, primarily playing on their third line, but you know, he's a very versatile player, and I love that about him. And you know, he's a good 200-foot player as well. Offensively, he's scored 20 goals on a couple of occasions, probably would have got there again last season had he played anywhere close to 82 games. And you know, he's a guy who's also very good defensively. So you know, I think he's going to fit really, really well on this Flames team. And you know, something I've been talking about all summer is the fact that last season, and again, the Flames have been looking for a top six right winger for what feels like forever. And last season, they had to resort to using left wingers on right wing because they simply didn't have guys who belonged in the top six. And even though they moved Matthew Tkachuk to right wing, you know, they still, for me, were missing a top six right winger, a top six forward. They had five six forwards. This year, the addition of Blake Coleman, if everybody's healthy, gives them six top six forwards. And you know, Darryl Sutter talked about it in his first media availability following the Flames practices yesterday. You know, Blake Coleman and Elias Lindholm are both excellent 200-foot players. So you put them in a line with a guy who has as high a hockey IQ as just about anybody in the league, and Matthew Tkachuk, and I think that line can be A, pretty dynamic offensively, but B, I think they can do a really good job defensively if they're matched up against the other team's top line or one of the other team's two top lines. So I just look at Lindholm and Coleman as terrific 200-foot players, and Tkachuk obviously brings a completely different element to that line with those two guys, brings a little bit of bite. Again, he's got that high hockey IQ. So I think Coleman's a great fit on any team and kind of the type of player the Flames had to find during the offseason just because I think he can fill some different holes for them.
Yeah, I think Darryl Sutter mentioned it, you know, in his first media address yesterday. This team went out and added a bunch of guys who have been on long playoff runs, have won championships. Certainly Blake Coleman is a guy who obviously fits that bill, winning the last two Stanley Cups in Tampa. And, you know, Blake Coleman talked about that today, Pat, being around players that, you know, have won championships, being around what he called some of the best players in the world, not just in this league. And to learn from them, it allows him to be a great fit on different lines. I think he's learned a lot in the last couple of years going away from his days with the New Jersey Devils. He's a guy who has scored north of 20 goals before in this league a couple of times. So I don't think, you know, being asked to play in a top-line role and maybe being asked to do a little more offensively, that might be a little new for Blake Coleman. But overall, being a guy who's relied upon to play against the best players, to play a strong defensive role, to play two ways, as Derek mentioned, much like his linemate Elias Lindholm, that stuff is not overly new for a guy like Blake Coleman. So all that being said, I do think there's a really good potential for him to be an immediate good fit on this team. You're not really worried much like when the contract was signed, we talked about this. I don't think you're really worried about what years 5 and 6 of that deal look like.
Right.
You're hoping he's a great fit immediately, and certainly the front half of that contract is better than the later half of that contract, as we kind of expected going in with him turning 30 in November. I think it's only fair to assume it's going to go that way. But he's a guy who's got less tread on his tires than a guy his age would have, because he came into the league a little early or later on. We'll see how he fits. Going back-to-back playoff runs, being how weird the schedule is, it's not that typical wear and tear on a guy who's gone that deep in the playoffs before. So we'll see how he fits immediately. But certainly on paper, it looks like it could have the potential to be a very natural fit.
Well, I think that there's a really good ability to – and I know you don't want to juggle lines, and you'd like to have the lines stay the same as long as you possibly can.
No, you want lines different every game.
Probably not. Oh. You probably only want to do that when you need to, when things need a shakeup. But I feel like the good news is with Coleman is that you can put him in any situation. You can put him in a shutdown checking role, and I think that he'll be good there. You can put him in a spot like Lindholm and Tkachuk with those two, and Daryl Sutter's going to use that line in every situation against good players. He's going to lean on them defensively and lean on them to drive offense. I just feel like you can put him in so many different spots and expect him to still excel. So maybe it is with Lindholm and Tkachuk that he starts the season. Maybe it's with somebody else. Maybe we see him get a run with Monahan and Gaudreau. Maybe we see him get a run with Backlund. I don't know, but I think the fact that he is a two-way player, a strong two-way player, has a proven ability as a two-way player, and has been able to do that at the most important time of year the last number of years, Derek. I think he's going to be a good fit. I really do. And I know there have been some misses in free agency over the last years, but I see this one coming into the season. I feel the same way about it as I did with Michael Frolik, as I did with Derek Ryan, and both those ended up to be pretty successful signings for this team based on what the past suggested, and the past suggests that, at least for me, Coleman's going to be a nice fit here.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I'm not really worried about the fact that he's going to be 30, because as Will mentioned, he should still have plenty of tread left on his tires, because he started in the league late, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he's only played in 301 regular season games. And, you know, Will made another great point. The fact that, yeah, he's been to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals, won back-to-back championships with the Lightning, but both seasons were shortened. So it's only played 82 regular season games and then 20-plus postseason games each of the last 2 years. Yeah, he played the postseason games, but not as many regular season games. So he should have plenty of tread left on those tires. Two other things with Coleman that I think will help him age well. The league gets faster and faster every season, and Blake Coleman can fly. He's a really good skater, so I think that's going to help him. And when you look at his numbers, better numbers with the Devils as far as goal scoring goes than with the Lightning, because he was playing in an elevated role. And we assume that he's going to be playing, in comparison to what he was doing with the Lightning, in an elevated role with the Flames. But if you look at his numbers, guys, he's been a really good even strength player. He's a guy who you can use on your penalty kill. But I suspect he'll get way more power play time with the Flames than he got with the Lightning. He barely played any power play time as a member of the Lightning. And you don't question why, because it was such a deep team the last couple of seasons. But, you know, even if he's on PP2, I think those goal assist and point totals will go up because of that. So I'm excited about the Blake Coleman signing. Again, his versatility, I think, will make him an easy fit in this Flames team. And I like the looks of that line with him and Lindholm and Tkachuk.
Daily Flames Roundtable. It is Derek Wills, Will Mault, and Pat Steinberg with you on your Friday drive home. Guys, how do we read Oliver Shillington's situation? Because on the outside, it sure does feel like, Derek, he is in no man's land right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it, Pat. This is a big year for Oliver Shillington, not necessarily because it's going to, you know, dictate what happens as far as his future with the Flames is concerned, but it might play a huge role as far as his future in the National Hockey League is concerned. You know, at some point in time, we're going to have to get a longer look at this guy to know exactly what he is at the NHL level, and I don't think that any of us can really offer an educated opinion on that, simply because he hasn't played in enough games. And the reason why he hasn't played in enough games is because he hasn't developed to the point, or at least we don't think that he has, where he is a top six guy in this league, at least not on this team, at least not right now. You know, I look at Oliver Shillington, well, if you look at the depth chart, he's either their seventh or eighth defenseman at the moment. But I'm not convinced that Connor Mackey won't play his way into the top eight, maybe even in the top seven or six before all is said and done this season, and jump ahead of a guy like Oliver Shillington on the depth chart. He is a great skater. That's his best attribute. He has some upside offensively. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy who's your quarterbacking your first power play, but you know, because he can skate so well and because I think he sees the ice pretty well, there is some upside there offensively. Defensively is where there's always been question marks with Oliver Shillington. Defensively and when it comes to some of the decisions that he makes on the ice. So, you know, I do think that, like you said, Pat, he's kind of caught in no man's land. The only way I see him being a regular on this team is if there are probably at least two injuries on defense. So, you know, what is Oliver Shillington? I'm not sure we're ever going to find out as long as he's a member of this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said it earlier. I think there's no other way to put it than no man's land. And I think, you know, again, I don't want to discredit what's been said, but you look at the way these groups have structured, the fact there's been no movement of these groups the first 3 days on the ice, which, again, Daryl Sutter alluded to yesterday when he spoke with the media. But this middle group that skates at 11 o'clock, I mean, Oliver Shillington is probably the only guy that won't be there come October 16th, opening night, when they open the season. Everybody else on that list, in my opinion, is on this team come opening night in Edmonton. So I look at it and go, okay, Oliver Shillington clearly is the eighth guy. He played just eight games last season. He was not even really a factor or a question. Like, you barely went to the rink, Pat, and said, is Oliver Shillington going to get in tonight? Like, he wasn't even in the conversation when Daryl Sutter took over as head coach. And the biggest question for me, as he does need waivers, is he in this organization come opening night? He's going to likely be put on waivers. If he clears, yes, he'll go to Stockton, but I do wonder if it's finally time where a team looks at it and says, let's take a flyer on this player and see if we can't fit him in, knowing that there's probably other teams right now that sit there with a little bit less depth on defense, and he might not be the eighth somewhere else. He might factor into that 6-7
right
conversation. So that's kind of what I look at with Oliver Shillington. I do wonder if he's much longer for this organization.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy because I don't see a natural spot right now, because he's not, I can't, unless there's injury, he's not one of the seven defensemen to start the season, I don't think. And in fact, guys, even though Connor Mackey isn't practicing with the middle group, the fact that he does not require waivers, I would imagine that would probably put him ahead of Shillington on the depth chart. And, you know, Mackey's younger and is a guy that, or the very least the same age, but is younger in the organization, and is a guy that they have high hopes for going forward. So I don't know, like, how much longer can Oliver play in the American League? I think that he's proven that he's probably beyond that league, but there's no natural spot for him in the NHL right now. And it might come down, Derek, to exactly what Will said. Like, it might come down to, does he get claimed on waivers when he is inevitably put there in a few weeks? And I hate saying that, because I really like Oliver as a guy, and I still think there is some nice potential, but just reading the room and looking at the situation, I don't see a natural spot for him in the organization going forward.
Yeah, I don't either. Again, you'd love to have all this depth on defense, but you can't keep everybody sometimes. Now, He is under contract. He's a member of the Flames organization as we speak, and who knows what happens between now and the start of the season. Maybe there are a couple of injuries, and maybe that does put him in the conversation. But, you know, I look at teams like, say, the Red Wings or the Senators, teams that are still fairly early in rebuilds that don't have the type of depth on defense that the Flames do. Why not take a flyer on somebody like Oliver Shillington? Because there is some skill there. There is some upside there. And I still think that there is potential that he could become an NHL regular. I just don't know, given what the Flames have in defense, if it's going to be here in Calgary. Now, again, stranger things have happened. I think this is a really important preseason for Oliver Shillington, because I think he's going to get a chance to play in a bunch of games. You know, the Flames have eight games, four at home, four on the road. I don't think that early in the preseason we're going to see a lot of veteran players traveling, although I don't know what Daryl Sutter's plans are, but that's traditionally how it works. So, you know, if Oliver Shillington can get into some games and look like a guy who could potentially play in somebody's top six, maybe that leads to a trade. Maybe that leads to him going on waivers because the Flames don't have room for him and someone taking a shot at him. But, you know, he's still a player who I think could be an NHLer. I just don't know if it's going to be with the Flames because of what they have in defense.
Derek Wills, Will Nault, Pat Steinberg, Daily Flames Roundtable. Last one, doesn't have to be a massive discussion. Just what are we expecting Sunday? The preseason opener, fans in the stands for the first time since March 8th of 2020 at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. What do we expect lineup-wise? What do we expect Sunday at the Dome, gents?
I can't wait. I mean, it'll be the first time calling a game in a building with fans since what, March of 2020? It's been a while, and I almost forget what it feels like. And I know there were a handful of game or handful of fans at that Flames Oilers rookie game up at Rogers Place in Edmonton last Saturday, but what, a couple thousand people there, Pat? I'm guessing that's how yep. many OEG employees were in the stands at last Saturday's game. So, you know, in a massive building like that, it was great to have fans in the stands, don't get me wrong, but there weren't many of them. And, you know, I suspect that we're going to see a really good crowd at Scotiabank Saddle Dome here in Calgary on Sunday. And I just think that's going to be special for everybody in the building, for the players and for the coaches and the managers and certainly for us broadcasters as well. And, you know, we'll again remember what it feels like to feed off of the energy from the fans. And I think there's going to be lots of energy in the building. It's the preseason, yes, but it's still the Battle of Alberta. And with it being a relatively short road trip for the Oilers, hopefully we'll see some of their top players on Sunday. I think we're going to see a competitive hockey game. I think the players on both sides are going to be feeding off the energy from the fans, and it's going to be a really special night inside of the Sea of Red.
Be curious on the crowds, guys, to be perfectly honest. Now, there's been a lot talked about. I don't want to get too political, but this province is on fire right now. I think there's some people that probably don't agree with them being at full capacity despite, you know, only allowing double vaccinated people in the building or a negative COVID test. I do wonder what the appetite is, Pat, to go to a Flames game. And I think there's going to be some natural excitement because it has been so long. I'm not trying to certainly take that away from anybody, but I'm curious how this conversation evolves over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that I'm curious too as to, you know, what the atmosphere is going to be like at the Dome on Sunday and how close to 19289 we're talking about from a lineup standpoint. I think that, you know, just based on traditionally how these things go, I'm guessing we're probably talking about three NHL forward lines, two NHL defense pairings, and Jacob Markstrom starting in net. That's kind of what I am anticipating from a lineup standpoint. I just I'm quite interested to see what it feels like to be back watching a preseason game with fans in the building in September. It's been 2 years. It has been 2 years since we've been on a normal NHL schedule and starting a season on a normal schedule. So I'm just curious what Sunday feels like personally for me, and I'm curious as to, if you're listening right now, what it's going to feel like to you if you end up going.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, I haven't talked to one person all summer who has said to me that they're not going to be going to games at Scotiabank Saddle Dome, or, you know, some fans like to travel and catch the Flames on the road as well, that they're not going to be going to games this season because of what's happening with the pandemic right now. You know, I've talked to lots and lots of people who can't wait to get back into the Dome to see a hockey game in person again. So, quite frankly, I would be surprised if we didn't see a really good crowd there for that Battle of Alberta on Sunday. I think people have been chomping at the bit and want to see a hockey game in person again. The fact that it's the Flames versus the Oilers is only going to lead to, I think, probably more people being there. It's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be awesome. I know that everybody I've talked to, you know, from a fan perspective, feels that way. I know that the staff is super excited. There are going to be some challenges because you do have to be vaccinated to get into the building. You know, and the Flames, I know they've been working really hard behind the scenes to make that process as easy as possible, not only for the staff, but for the fans as well. So it's going to be an experiment of sorts, both on the ice and off the ice as we start the preseason on Sunday.
I do know it has been busier at the Saddle Dome this week than it has been in months and months and months. The concessions, they're starting to get them ramped back up. They haven't been open for quite some time. So the concessions, they're working on that. They're working on the Fanatics. They're working on getting the seats back up to snuff, cleaning the place, all of it. It seems like we're getting ready for a season. It is strange, but it is the busiest the Saddle Dome has been since, well, March of 2020. Good stuff, gentlemen. Mr. Wills, we will see you at practice tomorrow. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Friday.
Yeah, have a good night, guys.